I need to do some setup here. Okay, now, is that visible to everybody? Okay, during the earlier part, Janelle stole a lot of my thunder, so what I had prepared was pretty long, and when I dry ran it, it ran an hour and a half, and my wife went to sleep after about 5 minutes. So please don't go to sleep or walk out. That wasn't for you. Okay. The first thing, we're going to do several different things. So we're going to follow the same outline that Janelle did early. We're going to edit existing entries in the database, and we're going to add new tags to existing people in the database. We're going to add some new people, and we're going to hopefully we'll get to see the new person warning where duplicates are identified when they pop up, when you add somebody that's a duplicate in the database. We're going to spend a little bit of time using the F2, F3, and Control F3 keys just to show you that there are ways to enter data without a lot of keystrokes. And if you're not a typist like me, it's heaven sent. And it also helps you reduce spelling errors and inconsistencies. Sometimes you'll enter the city, a state, and county, and you'll abbreviate county, and sometimes you'll spell out county. Using these keys to draw on data that the entries that you've already put in will resolve that. And then the last thing we're going to do is have a graduation ceremony. We're going to switch to advanced mode. And
I want a certificate.
Okay, and you'll have to provide them. And do a little bit more of adding and editing with advanced mode on. And you've already seen the advanced mode today, so if we run out of time, I may cut short the switch over to the advanced mode. Okay, first of all, we're going to do some simple editing of existing entries. And I've chosen Louise Kyle Baldwin as my focal point to start with, and we need to navigate to her. And since she's in our bookmark, all we have to do is click on her, and we get to Louise. And the thing that, see if I can, I can't even move that over. It's rigid. What I like to see, and what Janelle talked about a little bit, is having a date along with a marriage date. With a marriage name. And if you had entered Louise's married name when you entered her married, the date would have been put in there with it. So what I'm going to do is enter her marriage date in her married name tag box. And there are several ways we can open up a tag for edit. And one of them that Janelle had problem with, and I have trouble with too, is using the double click, and it worked perfectly. I don't ask me why, I don't know, but it did. There's another way. You can highlight the tag with the click and hit the enter key, and it opens up the tag. You can highlight the tag and hit the F5 key. It opens up the tag entry screen. Or you can highlight the screen with a right click, go up here to where it says edit this tag up here at the top of the screen, and it opens the tag. Now it's a simple thing to do. I didn't open the right tag though. Sorry about that. All the editing works the same way, except double click doesn't want to work here. So enter. And it's a simple matter to enter her date in here. 6 July 1918. Oops, boy, what happened there? I haven't been drinking today, I promise you. And I didn't get the caps in there for July. And we'll okay the screen, and lo and behold, we we have a date for, how come we got, oh yeah, there it is. And it looks pretty good, I think. So that's a simple entry. Another entry I want to talk about is Martha Ferguson. She's number 18. And I should have told you that there are other ways to pick people out if they're not in your bookmark list. One of them is to use the pick list, and we can look for Martha Ferguson by her last name, F-E-R. There's Jane, and there's Martha right there. And we can also look for her. I'm going to go back to Frank again, or Louise. We can also, since we know her number, we can use the person ID method and enter the person ID up here in the person ID number, number 18, and click OK over here. And, oops, yeah, we're on Martha Ferguson again. What I wanted to point out on this particular screen, and I hate it, it's not showing up, on the date here, there is a C for the marriage date. What does C 1800 mean? And what does circa mean? And what is the numerical range that TMG applies as their default to circa? Plus or minus 20. Now, what that affects is that any time you use a filter that's based on a date or on a date range, it uses the circa dates, which in this case would be 1780 to 1820, to include, that they may be included or excluded in filter. So, one thing, I think that range is too wide. It says she could have been married in 1780, which is 4 years before she was born. Or she could have been married in 1820, which is far beyond the first 6 or 8 children. So, is it necessary that we change the circa range? Why does it need to be wide? Especially, why does it need to be 40 years wide for a marriage date? You can see that she had her first child in 1802. Why don't she get married? You can estimate that she was married in 1800 and do away with all of that uncertainty that's introduced by the circa command or modifier. Well, there's a way that you can modify the circa range, and you go to preferences. I right-clicked anywhere on the person detail and hit the preferences key. And preferences for this is down here in the advanced, other current program advanced. And lo and behold, it does say it's 20 years. And you can change it to any value you want. Personally, I use 5. If you look at an age in a census record, usually you don't miss that by 5 years or more. And that's where I primarily find the about or estimate come in more frequently. So we can change it just by cranking down the button a little bit and make it 5. And you need to apply those changes and OK them. And it didn't change anything here. It still looks like she was about 1800. Now the range is 1795 to 1805. Now there's a technique that TMG has used. They use to estimate marriage dates, let's say, when you don't know the actual marriage date, and it's based on the birth date. And up here in the tools source list, there is a source that says assumptions. It's right here, source number 5. And if we edit that and look up here in supplemental, we'll see that his assumption is that a man was at least 20 when he married and a woman was at least 15, and that any child that is born after their marriage. Now, that helps. I use a little bit different range, but I use a range very similar to this. And let's see, if we applied that to Martha in this case, she's at least 15. I'm going to cancel out of the source definition screens and go back and apply 15 years to her birth date, she would be 1799, or about 1799. Or let's change this circa to an estimate. And you can say EST. Now, what is different about that? You can put say there if you want to, S-A-Y, or you could just leave it estimate, and the program is going to change it to say. Let's say that her birth date was 1800. Now, that agrees with what kind of material that we have in the data. We know that her first son was born 2 years later. That sounds good. That's a daughter. And it agrees with the assumptions that we've used, too. So how do people feel about that? Is that a reasonable explanation? That's how I do it.
I always thought say was the other way around, that say was a larger time frame than circa.
It isn't defined in any of the program. You can't change it anywhere. Okay, that's a question that we'll have to entertain for later presentation. Okay, now I have another exhibit to do some editing on, but it requires advanced mode, so I can't do it right here. So let's go on to adding a new tag to an existing person. And what I want to do is add a baptismal tag to Annie Alexander, who is number 6. And since I've got her number, I like to use this method to select her by using the ID number, person ID number. And all you do is add her number right here in the person ID box and click OK. Oh, we didn't find 0. I didn't get it in there. Oh, close the window. I got a 0 there, that's right. Put 6 in, click OK, and go to Annie Eliza Alexander. And during the review of the Bible, which her birthday came from, they overlooked the fact that her baptismal date was also there. And so we can add a tag in a number of ways. And Janelle had a tag box over here on the side. You can use it with the add command up here, add a tag, because there's no baptism here, add a tag. Or you can do the right click and add a tag up at the top of the box. And that's, since I'm there, that's what I'll use. And lo and behold, baptism is pretty close. So we select baptism, highlight it, and select it. And the only thing we have in this case is the date of the baptism, 10 February, 10. 10. Keyboard, a little hard to see. You know, we were talking here several months ago about buying a little light that plugs into it. I bought one. I haven't tried it. It's at home. Not much help. Okay, 10 February in, 1870. And in this case, we know that the source was also the source for the Wilson record. And I'm starting to use some of the F keys that Janelle used. And in this case, I don't know whether it was the last one or not, but F3 would bring up a number. Let's see, where's the citation? Guess what? I'm in advanced mode. I didn't recognize it. I told you I was going to change it, but I didn't. Ignore that there's a witness box there. See these little buttons down here at the side? They do the same thing as previous citations. There's one for repeat, the recent ones, and there's one for the last one. And since I don't know what was last, I'm going to look at a list. And the Alexander Woods Bible is the one that I'm interested in. Click OK. And now we have a citation. If I have a citation detail, I could edit it. And these are all things that are going to be covered when we talk about sources in August. So it's going to say, I have no surety, so we say, I know that. We'll go ahead and I'm going to click that every time.
I think sources is in September.
Was it? In September? Sorry.
August.
That's right. Thank you. I'm a month off. Okay, we're going to okay that data. And the other entry I want to show you just on entering a new tag is that the Fugates here are about to have a son in 1900, and they want to have a method of quickly relaying all the good news to their relatives and their friends. So they want to have a telephone installed. So we're going to click tag. We're going to look in the list, and lo and behold, it's there. There's an easier way to get there than scrolling. You can just type T. Now, if there was a television there and you wanted it, it's only going to pick the first entry that begins with T, and then you'd have to scroll a little bit to find the specific item that you want. In this case, telephone's highlighted. We're going to select it, and the telephone was installed on the 20th of November, so we enter the date right here. And if any time I'm talking too fast, it's because I timed this presentation in an hour and a half, and the quickest I've ever done it is an hour and 20 minutes. And if I miss something, or you miss something that I say, or I miss something that you thought I should have said, let me know, please. Yeah. Okay, I said the 20th of November in 1900. And they were given a telephone number at the time that the telephone was installed, and it was BR549. Okay, and since we've got this in the memo, I'll just show you what the sentence looks like. Oops. The telephone number was 549 on the 20th of November. Okay, close the window here, close up the tag. And that's all we're going to do for editing of existing people. We're going to spend most of the time on editing. Oops, I'm on battery.
Most new laptops suggest that they have 3.25 hours of battery capability.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the switch is in the on position.
Can you reach to here?
Maybe that outlet isn't on.
That wall switch may not work.
If this isn't.
The ones that are external to the wall like that, I think, are the old system. They've taken away. Here's a power cord. Here's an extension cord. Mike. You got that?
Yeah. I'm going to light up.
Boy Scout motto, be prepared. It says I'm on AC power now. Okay, I was saying that we're going to enter some new people, and Robert Baldwin is the person that I've chosen, and you've seen a lot of Robert already today. So we can navigate to Robert easily this way by using the person ID list, or his daughter's right here, so let's just navigate from there. Click on Robert Baldwin and edit, change focus to this person. And we're on Robert Baldwin. Now, there was an 1880 census record for Robert, And I've made a PDF version of it here. And like all census records, they are pretty scratchy, and this one is no exception. But with a little magnification, we can see Robert. And his father evidently showed up right at the top of the list. This census was made in the town of Jeffersonville, Tazewell County, Virginia, on the 26th day of June in 1880. Let's go back down and find out what we can enter here from Robert's father. Okay, his name is Denison B. He's age 49. He's married. He's a treasurer of something. He was born in Virginia. His father was born in New York, and his mother was born in Ireland. Now, we won't have time to put all that data in, but it's data that especially the New York for his parents, or his father, and his Ireland for his mother is kind of important. So we need to record that somewhere. We're not going to do it today. So the thing that we're going to record is his name, his age, and his birthplace in the record today. And we'll get to his, we'll add his wife and two sons. And the rest of them, we would cover using that progeny key or progeny tag that we talked about a little bit earlier. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to cut corners just a little bit. Okay, so let's go back to our database and start entering information for Robert Baldwin. And Janelle, there are several ways to get add people. You can use the add key up here. I like this add new person, the icon with the person and the plus sign. And that's the one I use because I like the graphics that are associated with it. We have the focus person here in the middle. We want to find his enter data for his father. So we click up here on the father, and we get the same field that you've seen already this morning several times. Put in old Denison. Denison. Nope. B. Some people like periods, some people don't. Now here's another thing. It says he was age 49. Does that mean he was born in 1831? Or 1830? Or 1832? Okay, right now, we can talk about it. What I usually do is wait until I get onto his record, and I just write his age here, age 49. And we know that he was born in Virginia. Oh, and it's going to tell me that's an irregular date. It's going to tell us that every time we use it. That's all right. I know what I'm doing, I hope. Now, if I've been doing this for a while, Virginia is probably going to be the state that I get when I push the F3 key, and it isn't. Okay, if I push the F3 key again, I can cycle through all the values that are there, and Virginia is the one. If I use Control F3, I get a list of all of the values that are in the list up to 15. And the top one is Tennessee. Next it'll be Virginia because I've used it. So we've got, oops, change, F3 again. We have his name, surname, it's already supplied, his age, and his birth state. And that's all the information that we know that's in these tags. So let's, we know this, I forgot to tell you. Especially when you're doing data entry from a census, you need to have the source already entered into your master source list. And I meant to do that. What I would do is enter a beginner level source tag for today because we're going to get sources later. So I'm going to, I'll have to come back and fill his in. But I'm going to deviate for a little bit right now and go up to the tools list, the master source list, and enter a new source by hitting the add key. And you're going to get more of this later, so don't count on what I say as the gospel. I'm going to run down here to the census records, and the census record I have is a filmed version, so I highlight it and click select down here. And my census record comes up. And I'll use the same format that we've used. You can see over here the census format we've been using, and we agreed that we would use last week, I think. Census 4, 1880, 80, in Tazewell. Don't worry, I'm watching my fingers to see that they hit the right key rather than watching the film of the slide to see if they type the right thing. That's for the abbreviation, and now for the title, we use Census 1880, Census, you was in the wrong place, 1880, in Tazewell County, comma, Virginia. And that's our simple list. Ordinarily, we fill in the whole thing. Let's put a space there. And we're okay. Now notice that our source number is 40. Because we're going to be using this a lot, we don't want to keep looking it up every time. Just remember 40. Okay, now when we get back, we're back at Denison. He's the guy we just added. We added his record, and we knew that he was age 49. Now again, here's a place where I easily use the estimate. He was born, estimated in 1831. His birthday could have been a month later, and he says, oh, I'm 49, when he's really only 48, which would make him born in 1832, or vice versa. You know, he forgot that he just had a birthday, and he's actually 50. And the guy that's doing the recording could have made an error. So you can't trust the values that you can see. The only thing is you can record them. So what I'm going to do is change his date to an estimated of 1831. And before I do that, I want to show you something on the screen before. Estimates, I'm not going to fix that right now. Yeah, I want to lose these changes. You'll notice that over here in the age column, when an event takes place in this guy's personal record, his age at that event will show up. When you have an irregular date up here, that doesn't show up. So if we had a real date, then his age when Robert was born would show up as 35. So let's go back and we'll enter in an estimate for his birth date of 1831. And we'll do the same thing when we enter all the people. We know that he was born in Virginia and it's there. And we know that the source citation is 40. I updated this field. 40 for the source citation. And okay, we don't have any sureties yet. Okay. And now you notice that because we have a real date here for his birth, all of these age events later in his life show up with his approximate age at that time. Well, there's more information in the census record, and we needed to add a spouse. So his spouse was there. We had Dennis as the focal point, and we want to add his wife. Let's go back and look at our census record. And it looks like her name is Sally with two A's. Sally W. is 44, and she was born. Find out where the slider is. She keeps house, and she was born in Virginia. Her parents were born in Virginia. It looks good here. Virginia looks a little worse there. And Virginia over on the right-hand side, it looks still like Virginia, but it takes some stretch. But we're not going to record that now. So we go back to the database. Go back to the database. And we're going to enter in Sally with two A's, two L's also. W, that's probably her maiden name, but we don't know that. Something else. And we don't know her surname. And like Janelle said earlier, when we don't enter a surname, it's going to show up as a question mark in reports and things. Her date of birth, her age was 44, so we're going to give her an estimated birth date in 1836. And she was born in Virginia also, and the F3 key should work for Virginia, and it did. And source citation, she's also in that same census record, 40. Pardon? F3 would have done it too, you're right. Okay, we now have no surety. And it asks us if we want to create a married name for his wife, and sure, why not? This is what's used in the pick list, so you can find her both by her maiden name, if we haven't entered, and also by her married name. And one thing you note right away, we've got Sally as the focal point, but she doesn't have any children, but she's married to Dennison, who has a child. Why not? Well, we need to connect Robert to his mother. So we need to navigate over to Robert, who we know is number 60. And we're going to add his mother by clicking on his mother. Let's see if double click works. It didn't. It did.
Of course, you don't know for sure that she's the mother.
Well, in this case, it says she's the wife, but we don't know that it's the mother. We're assuming. You're a good point. That's a good point. But we're going to assume that she is the mother.
Mike?
Yes?
I forgot to tell everyone something.
Yes.
So if it's important. If at some point you want to show them that white bowl by the tag time.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
There is a reminder for each of the tags, and some of them are filled in and give you information, and this one's not. It says there's no reminder for this tag type. But you can edit these, and you can say, enter this, use this kind of format, and whatever you need to keep you from going to look up in a book someplace what you need to do for a particular tag. So that's a good point. Thank you very much, Janelle. Okay, so in this case, there's not a very good reminder. And if you were very observant, you knew that Sally's person ID is 66. So we'll go ahead and enter 66. And we could check that just by clicking off of her record and find out. Or we could have gone over to the pick list. And she also, this, we can enter the citation in again. And like Charlie said, we can use F3 to enter. I don't have to type it. Thank you. You already know how good my typing skills are. Okay, now we have Robert Moore, and we have his mother assigned, and there are more people in the family. We could go back to Dennison and add a son, or we could stay here on Robert's record and add a brother. And since we're here, we're saving time, let's go and, pardon? Let's go and see who the next brother is. Pardon? We don't know what, Kathy? Kathleen?
We're navigating a different way, and we were talking about we don't know Sally W.'s last name.
No, we do not. That's something you add to your research notes to look up the name for Sally W. You can look through World Connect, the Family Search Organization website, and you might find that her name is Sarah W. or something like that, Sarah Ward. Okay, we were adding a brother to Robert. One thing I forgot to tell you about when I added Dennison's record, and let's switch to him for just a minute. Edit. No, change focus to Dennison. Whenever I copy information about a census down, I copy information about the census itself. And I've done that like this. This is the header that comes up when you download a census from Heritage Quest. And I usually copy that and put it in the memo until I get time to work on the actual, I don't know whether I copied or not, until I get time to work on the source and fill in all the data that I had. So we're on Dennison's record, open up a memo. Let's open up the one here and just paste the data in.
I'm sorry, where did you get that?
When I copied the census record that I showed you, when I downloaded it, this information pops up on the window that you downloaded. It happens to come from Heritage Quest. So that's where I got it. I had it stored on a directory here on my file. It's right here. But so you have to do this in advance when you're bringing in information. Like when I copied the census record, the raw record, that information was there. So I copied it. Okay, back to the database. He's copied into the memo, and it's not going to print. It's just there for me, so that when I get ready to fill in his source information, I got it all right here. The roll number, the series roll number, and page number, and the town or the district and all that stuff. And then this is the URL of the website where I got the information. Okay, we've digressed a bit to get all that information in there. And we were about to add a brother to Robert, but while we're on Dennison, let's just add him from a son from there. And we need to know who the son is. I think his name is also Dennison, with an O instead of a... Yeah, with an O up here. And he's 16. He is a son. He's a farmer. And he's born in Virginia, along with both of his parents in Virginia. So I got that up here in my brain. Let's go and add a son to Dennison Baldwin. And again, you get a chance to ensure that Sally is his parent, or as Jan said earlier, we don't know that Sally is his mother. We assumed it because she was in the census record. So we just click OK. This gives him two parents. His surname is already there, and so we enter Dennison O, put a period. And we estimate that he was born in 1864, 16 years earlier than 1880, 64. Oops. Estimated 1864. And he was born in Virginia too, our good old F3P. Oops. See, I hit the wrong box and it brought up the list for Russia. It senses where your cursor is when you hit the F3 key to pull up the right data. And we've got a citation. Again, it's number 40. We'll use the F3 key again. Tazewell County, Virginia. It's okay. And now when we okay, we'll go back and we'll find out we don't have any sureties. Dennison has two parents, and he was born, we estimate, in 1864 in Virginia. Well, we could add a brother to Dennison while we're here, so let's go ahead and do that. But this was really the part I wanted to add, showing add for item number 3, adding new people. I want to digress for a minute, and we're going to switch to talking about a new person warning. And we'll see if we can make this work. It didn't work as well earlier. The new person warning has a setup here in the preferences. It's up in the upper part for the program options, and it's called new people. And if you don't want to look for ads, you can turn it off by clicking here. But its default is for identical spelling of the surname, identical spelling of the given name, to check the primary names only of existing people. Well, I couldn't check it if they were non-existing. They weren't your database. Check people of the same sex and have a birth date that's within 10 years of the entry. Now, if you want to use exact birth dates, you can. What this set of check marks is doing is restricting the number of duplicates you find in your database. You don't want to find that everybody in your database is a duplicate. So these are the ways that you can limit it. Now, I found that this one right here, disqualify parents, always eliminates the name that I'm going to add. So I'm going to uncheck it. And everything else is the same, so we'll apply it and OK it. And now we're ready to enter a brother for Denison. Let's see who we have. We have Robert M., born age 14, a son born in Virginia, and he's a clerk in a store. So evidently, they got out of school already because the other kids are still in school, or goes to school and at school. So, and he was born in Virginia too. Now, those bits of information are bits of information that you can use in your history, but we're limited for time, so we're not going to show those today. So we know Robert W. was 14 in Virginia. So we're going to go back to our favorite Add New Person screen. We're going to pick a brother this time, brother to Denison O, and put in Robert M. And I missed the O, didn't I? I mean, I missed the R.
You already have Robert.
Pardon?
But you already have Robert.
What's the category of our topic today? entering duplicate people. Okay, and his estimated date was born in 1866 in Virginia. And use the F3 key in the state box, and we get Virginia. And lo and behold, like Janelle said earlier, we should have a entry down here, and we don't. So let's just go back and see what happened. Say again.
Okay, maybe that is when it happens. I just did it on my own and it didn't work either. Yet at home it does work. But
this is just, wait a minute, just hang on. Let's change his name to Robert Moore. Oh, look at that. Remember, in our criteria for selection of duplicate people, we said use identical first given names. And Robert M. is not the same as Robert W. or Robert M. So let's see if it works just with Robert. Put the T back on there. No, it didn't. You have to clear off the name before. So it won't work with Robert M. So let's go back. Because you can't go to the preference. You can't go to the preference field while you're open on this add person screen, we're going to cancel out. Yeah, I'm going to lose all these guys. Let's go back to our preferences. And I chose to right click on the details screen and get the preferences up. Go to new people. And let's use a soundex on his given name rather than identical spelling. This broadens the spectrum just a little bit. Apply, okay, and let's add Denison O's brother again. brother. R-O-V-E-R-T. With a capital R. With a capital R, not a shift R. And lo and behold, what do we get? We don't even have to add his middle initial. We've already got possible duplicate. Now, when you get a possible duplicate, there's a pick list symbol over here on the right-hand side, right at the end of possible matching people. If you had more than one, it would highlight that. So let's go look at the pick list and see who is the duplicate. What you see on the screen is the person already in the database and not the person data that you're entering. So we know that we're trying to enter Robert M. Baldwin, whose father is Dennison and whose mother is Sally with two A's. And to me, that looks like enough information to declare Robert, the guy that I'm entering, Robert M., as a duplicate. So I'm going to close this filtered pick list by using the close button down here in the corner. And I don't need another duplicate, so I'm going to cancel Robert out. Do I really want to do that? Yes. And Robert Dennison doesn't have a brother by the name of Robert M.
A new brother.
He doesn't have a new one. He has a brother. Now, what is a feature, since I've known that Robert W. is a duplicate, let's go over to Robert. Now, you can get to Robert using this view, and this is another way you can find it. It keeps track of the last 10 people that you've ever been to. And there's Robert Moore. Go to him. Let's go and give him an alternate name. This is another add of a tag to an existing person. Well, I should have picked another shortcut. We know that Control V is the name var V. And there we are for name var. And in the memo, I'm going to type in Robert W in the 1880 census. And since we know the date of that census was the 26th of June in 1880, put the date in. Did I put the date in? No, and it has no source citation, but we know we can apply one, because it was in the census record. So we'll add F3 here in the census data. Sure, it is there. No sureties. Robert W. is with a period.
Your date's not.
It is right. Did I screw up the date? Mm-hmm. No, I can't do it here. How'd I get that there? Where's the date? I didn't open. Yeah, it is right there. 26. I probably hit the control key instead of the shift key. 1880. Thank you. We want this database to remain lily perfect. Okay, now we've entered all the data that I wanted to show you about entering a new person, and we've demonstrated the duplicate warning. We've pretty well covered the F3 and the F2 and the control F3 keys. There, in my handout, there's a brief description of those, and I'm going to leave that to the classroom for homework. There's another item for homework, too. On page 37 in the book, Terry uses a daughter of Frank Alexander as the model to add to the database. So I'm going to leave that to the student to do that for homework. Now we're in we're in advanced mode, and I just want to make sure that you know how to get there. It's in preferences. It's in the program options data entry section, and it's up here at the top labeled data entry, and all you do is click this radio button to change from one to the other. And we're in advanced, we were, but click apply and click OK, and we're in advanced mode. Now last month when we were talking about adding people to the database, we added Andy Nilosh as a spouse to, I think it was Mary Virginia Alexander. So let's use the pick list to find out where Mary Virginia is. I probably got it here. Yep, she's number 44. So we'll type in Alex here. And there's a lot of them.
We'll go through that again.
Okay, sure. Okay, let's go. I'll cancel out where I am. Cancel. What we were doing last week, we edited Mary Elizabeth Alexander, who is number 44 in the database. And I know that because I read my cheat sheet. And we can use the pick list to find her, which is the binoculars here, or we can use the ID, which I've been using all day. Let's use the pick list. You click on the binoculars, and you can use different ways of sorting this list. And right now it's sorted by surname, given name, and birth date. And so we type in Alexander, and we've already got Alexander. We can go on. And I didn't get Alexander spelled right. Left the A out. Left the X. And put a comma there after Alexander. And we can look for Mary. There's Margaret. There's Martha. There's Mary. There's Mary Ann. There's Mary Catherine. Mary Virginia. Which one was it? Well, I think I probably typed the number 44 there is probably wrong. Let's go to person ID number 9. Select Mary Virginia Alexander and click OK. She's the one that married Nilosh. Nope. 44 is right. Okay, let's use the pick list then and go back and pick up. I don't know why she didn't show up in the pick list.
Her last name is not Alexander.
Ah. But we should be able to find her both with her maiden name and her married name. Maybe she doesn't have him.
Her name is Fugate.
Oh, it is Fugate. Ah, then it is, my list is wrong here. And since I'm going to give this to you, Clyde, for giving out to the membership, I got to have it right. Thank you. Okay, we clicked OK, Mary, and there is our good buddy, Nilosh. Now last month when we did this, we couldn't add the witnesses to her marriage even though they were in the source that we had. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to use one of those features that was not available in the beginner mode but is available in the advanced mode to add the two witnesses to this marriage. So we'll double click. And we even typed in who the witnesses were, so it's real easy to find them. Now up in the witness box for entry, there are two different ways you can enter new witnesses. This big plus sign is the one where you can enter one witness at a time. And this one over here, you can add multiple witnesses at a time. So that if you wanted to enter all of the groups on all the bridesmaids at a wedding party, you could do it with this multiple addition method rather than use this guy and enter them one at a time. In the interest of time, I'm going to use multiple witnesses. And we get the same kind of screen that comes up, and we're in the Fugates already, so we ought to be able to find Joseph and Elizabeth by scrolling up a little bit. Yep, there's Elizabeth, and there's Joseph. So all we do is highlight Joseph and highlight Elizabeth. Whoops.
Control key.
Whoops, what happened?
Control key.
Right on. You use the control key to highlight more than one person. Hold the control key, and you can add Mary Elizabeth if you wanted to, but you don't want Mary Elizabeth, so oops, we'll have to start over. Once you've got the people highlighted that you want to add as witnesses, click the OK key, and you get a chance to confirm that your list was in fact correct. Joseph and Elizabeth. So we're going to add those as witnesses, and sure enough, they show up. No problem at all. Piece of cake. Now, that was really the end of my presentation, but I do have one thing to show you in closing. And we didn't have a source for that, so we can't add one. And because we don't have a source, we can't add any sureties. After we did this last week or last month, I was just browsing around. One of the things that Paul said about Andy, is that he was a country and western singer down here in Nashville. And so I went browsing around and country and western singers, and I found, oh my, there he is, a picture of Andy. So we could add that as an exhibit, but in the interest of purity, I'm not going to do that. Does anybody have any questions? Well, I did it in an hour. I talked fast, and I'm sorry if I talked too fast. I tried to highlight where I was going to be making entries with this little flashlight. Yes. Pat, Barbara.
These?
Where do you store those?
I put them in, because I was preparing for this particular, I just put them in a file called Rug 210 Stuff, you know, and so I brought it up here at the bottom and I can get into it. You just create a record under the C documents and store them there. That way I don't have to go racing around everywhere on my tree for my documents to find them. Okay. Bob, do you have anything to add, say?
Any questions? Anybody want us to like to go over anything that you've done?
Yes.
Would you please go back and see how you were able to, or how you go into changing that preferences.
Remember several, you want to know how do you get to preferences real fast without going through the file. Okay, let's get back on the database. Anytime you're on a screen like this, you can right click, and it depends on whether you're in the detail screen here or the children's screen or the sibling screens, you get a slightly different preference. But you just right click, and this whole list of things that you can do with the right click pop up. And preferences is the one at the bottom. If you were over here in children, you get a different set of choosing things you can choose, but you can still see preferences. And the same thing down here in the siblings.
And where it takes you in preferences is context sensitive.
Oh, that's.
So you'll build the right choice.
Okay, see, there it went to current project general.
It's variable user not found. We'll kill that. It didn't. Well, you got there, it just didn't like the way we got there. Oh, there's one other thing I want to tell you about. And I did this for my own self, but. Last week, when Clyde asked me to put the master Rug 210 database together and make some corrections that we hadn't made after last meeting, I used my copy of it. And it's got some words up here where I've made a caveat, so to speak. Because we're using Holy Gene's sample database for our own purposes, I said, RUG 210 is a Roots Users Group workshop modified version of the TMG sample project of Holy Genes. It may contain fictitious or erroneous data. And that shows up on this general screen in preferences. Maybe you can't see it very well. It's right here, RUG of Arlington. Everything I just read is there. I put our address instead of the Holy Genes address here in Arlington, and I put our email address and our websites instead of the Holy Genes. Now, if you think that's good, I leave it there. If it's not, I'll change it when I give this copy of the database for Clyde for posting, so that next people can. Okay, I'll leave it there. I meant to say that earlier. Pardon?
No, that's fine. Oh. I was going to, there's something I can show you all on adding multiple witnesses that might be of interest.
Okay. Jenny, would you click on number 8 and Clyde, do you know what you're on? You're probably on 8, Jan.
Yeah, I'm on 8 now. I wasn't. Will it work?
Well, it should. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I'll walk you through it.
You can come up here and do it. Let's see. I want to save that. That's our prime copy. Can you switch to?
Well, I'm not going to do. I won't make any changes.
Okay.
Okay.
You got it.
All right. Okay, let's just say we're going to add a residence tag and put all of the children as residents, okay?
Can I go on, please?
Whoop. Oh, I turned it off. Put it by.
Okay.
Get that a little closer to your mouth. It just bends.
Okay, is that, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Okay. All right. Add tag, and then we'll just pick resident. Residents. Okay. Now to add multiple people, we used this, you know, plus with the other people. All, down here at the bottom, there is. How did you do that little thingy? With the circle?
The control key. Control key
is the control key by itself.
Okay, down here there's a filter, as usual, and there's almost always a filter somewhere in TMG that you can use. You can actually go in here and pick, what's the guy's ID number? Fugate is 42. Okay, so you could go in here and use the filter to pick, if you go to F, for father, asterisk there, okay? Pick that, and you can just search by the ID number, which, boy, my brain is going, 42. Okay, and then click OK, and then all of, what is this? Where are all these people?
Huh.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't. It's supposed to be the one where he's their father, which doesn't make any sense. Let's go back here. Filter. Father is ID primary names. Okay. 3. There we go. I don't know who. What that other one's. Anyway, what you would do is pick the ones that are his, John's kids are here. I don't know why these other people are showing up, but you use the control, click OK, and it asks you if those are the right people, click OK. But you can actually do that and just pick like the people in that family and all have all the kids there to pick from, and then you pick the ones that are the right age to go on that residence tag or on that census tag or whatever. And it's a real quick way to add a bunch of witnesses that you know. You don't have to pick through a bunch of names. You just pick through the ones that are their kids. Do we want to keep it or not?
No.
Yes. Okay.
Anybody else have any special ways that they do things that would help out maybe the rest of us, just like that tidbit did? Okay, that's concluding the meeting. Okay.